People are actually losing their homes and asking to rent in our apartments.
The biggest obstacle is, of course, lack of funds.
We think we've helped 58,000 people.
We're constantly having a greater demand for affordable housing.
Welcome to the Affordable Housing Podcast, brought to you by Eden Housing.
The needs of low-income seniors for affordable housing, care, and supportive services are great and growing. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and on this episode of the Affordable Housing Podcast, brought to you by Eden Housing, we'll be speaking with someone who's been a passionate advocate in the not-for-profit aging services arena for 35 years. Since 2001, Larry Minix has been president and CEO of Leading Age, a Washington, D.C.-based association of 6,000 nonprofit organizations dedicated to making America a better place to grow old. Leading Age focuses on advocacy, education, and applied research, promoting adult day services, home health, hospice, community-based services, and programs of all-inclusive care for the elderly, better known as PAC. They work on senior housing, assisted living, continuing care communities, and nursing homes, as well as technology solutions and practices that support the health and well-being of seniors, children, and those with special needs. Eden Housing has, of course, promoted senior housing and aging in place throughout its history. And what we've seen is that once people move in, they generally stay until they absolutely must leave. Our residents often remain with us well into their 80s and 90s, and we have one resident right now who's 104 years old. Why do they stay? It's home. They can afford the rent. And we surround them with services that they need: health and wellness opportunities, transportation, access to fresh food, and gardens where they can plant fruits and vegetables. And we're sensitive to their need for community, doing what we can to prevent isolation. Larry, welcome to the Affordable Housing Podcast. It's an honor to have you as our guest.
I feel the same way, Joanne. Thank you.
Certainly. I mentioned at the beginning that the need for low-income housing for seniors is great and growing. Can you fill us in on the demographics and how real the need is in this country?
Well, it is growing, and of course, organizations like Eden Housing are on the forefront of that in many ways, and actually are emerging leaders. We are beyond the era of the nursing home being the predominant sort of provider category. We believe that housing with services is coming into its own as the dominant sort of congregate model. As seniors become older, there's still a generation of especially women who do not have adequate pensions and other forms of income, where really good low-income housing with affordable support services is going to be increasingly important. For the things like the low-income financed HUD housing projects, there are something like 11 people on a waiting list for every unit occupied. So the need is growing, and the availability is still too few units available.
Larry, we're in California. I'm wondering if there are states where the problem will be even more challenging.
Well, if you look at California, you're one of the most diverse and complex countries on the planet. You know that.
We feel that way. We take great pride in that.
Yeah, well, and you should. But it's a place where people want to stay. It's a place where seniors migrate. If you look at states like California, Arizona, increasingly, if you come east, Florida, North Carolina, Georgia, and there's a high concentration of seniors in the upper Midwest, as well as in the Northeast hub. This is where people want to grow old, so they can be with near their families and great services that are typically available in these communities. So those are the pockets of concentration of growth of seniors.
Everyone thinks it's the weather, but we know the truth. It's to be near the kids, right?
That's exactly right.
So Leading Age focuses on the goal of aging in place. What do we mean by that term, and why is it important?
Well, it's really important because our members, they're all the not-for-profit sector, And traditionally in their communities, they have tried to respond to the changing need. Many of our members have histories that go back 100 to 150 years where they responded to the social problems of the Civil War and industrialization. So they were widows and orphans homes. And we have many that were things like home for old men. We have one called the Home for Indigent Old Men of Good Character in Boston. So over time, they've changed their missions to accommodate the need. We know that all of us want a place that we can call home. And just like Eden understands with housing, in some cases they would have seniors there that will tell you that's the best home they've ever had because they've had modest incomes. But people want that little plot of ground and apartment that is theirs. And they want, to the extent possible, they want organizations like Eden to help them be able to age in place. They don't want to go to institutions unless they absolutely have to. So it's an important concept that responds to some fundamental human needs as we all age.
Beyond individual benefits that the seniors experience from being able to stay in their homes, are there policy and economic benefits to this approach for the state and federal governments?
Yes, we're really emphasizing with Congress and with both parties the importance of housing with supportive services. And we're working with them on how do you design policy programs that will allow for managed care type programs to help people stay in independent or congregate or apartment settings like Eden represents. And we found some openness to that. There's some models and pilots and demonstrations that are emerging that will allow for more coordination of services as well as integration of financing. So that's why things like different types of managed care programs and programs like PACE, the Program of All-Inclusive Care for the Elderly, are so important in this era.
What are the most challenging issues, Larry, for providers working to promote aging in place?
The challenging issues for providers, one is that personal, even ethical struggle of decision-making where the individual wants to make a decision to live in a congregate setting, and yet it may no longer be a responsible place for them to live. So every provider I know has sometimes difficulty in helping to clients to make the decision to move into a setting that that will better meet their needs. A second challenge is many bureaucracies and regulations and laws that if you are at Eden Housing, you've got to try to navigate to help people stay where they are. There are dozens of programs that support seniors and even younger populations with disabilities and challenges, some of which are conflicting or overlapping or there are gaps between them. So oftentimes you're managing regulations more than you're managing the service delivery of the people living there. Another issue is lack of capital. Here you have one of the most successful low-income housing capital programs through HUD that we've had in 50 years, and there are 11 people on this waiting list to live there, and yet the capital pool is shrinking because people view it, oftentimes it's viewed politically, as a welfare handout as opposed to an investment in every community. But everywhere you see one of these kind of housing facilities, there has been a return on that investment over time, many times what's been put into it. And with now the early indications that good managed care programs can help people stay in less expensive settings, we think there's even bigger return on the tax dollar investment for healthcare. And I would say a final kind of challenge for seniors is in finding affordable options. Many people who have middle income and upper middle income means and above can have many options. Those with modest means don't have many options, and the poorer you get, the more limited those options can be. So that gets us back to the policy arena. So those are the challenges we try to help our members face, and we try to have some influence on the policy discussion here in Washington.
And we appreciate it. What are the most important services for seniors to make it possible for them to age in place?
Well, they will tell you a lot of surveys come up locally is transportation, transportation, transportation. How do you get people to the services they need? A second is what I would call preventive types of services. People wind up in the hospital, the emergency room, more than anything else around medication mismanagement, not eating right, and slips and falls in like bathrooms and kitchens. So how do you set up a subtle program inside of a housing community that lets people stay on top of their health without making them feel like they're in a nursing home? But all of those are very solvable, preventable kinds of issues, and you want to build that into the service culture. If you were to look at service coordination in many facilities, they call it a service coordinator, but it's that surrogate niece or nephew or grandchild along with some combination of social worker and maybe with a little twist of nurse. Some people are calling that a concierge now, but hopefully every community has at least one of those that can help residents navigate the healthcare delivery system when they do have a problem to make sure that they are getting the right medications at the right time, or when they come back from the hospital, the critical couple of days coming back from the hospital is very important to see that they don't have to go back or they don't get into a crisis situation. Those coordination of services are becoming increasingly important.
Larry, one of the challenges that Eden has faced is increased frailty in seniors. They may not be frail enough for nursing care, right? But many of them can't afford the $4,000 a month that it costs here for assisted living. So one of the options that we've been looking at is the PACE model. Can you talk about the benefits of a model like this for higher levels of care?
Yes, the PACE program has been a successful program that's been in operation now for a generation, but it's been inhibited by state governments who have been reluctant to let it expand for reasons that are almost unfathomable these days. But a PACE program is typically for people that are eligible for a nursing home by their condition. They are typically lower income, and that means that they're Medicaid eligible. But if you are able to, if the PACE organization is able to blend Medicare payments with Medicaid payments, they can manage the total condition of the person. So Eden represents a venue in which PACE clients can be successfully and responsibly managed outside of a nursing home. And we've, of course, advocated for the growth of those models. There are also other similar models that are emerging that allow the same thing. And so we're encouraging expansion of all of those. California has some good models in place. They don't have enough PACE, but the original PACE program at ONLOC in San Francisco has been the prototype for those models now for well over a generation.
Are there any models out there that create affordable access or subsidy for higher levels of assisted living?
Well, I think there are some. There's a program called SASH in Vermont that uses affordable and low-income housing as a healthcare platform, and it's being included in Vermont's statewide health plan. So that's the first time that we've seen a statewide model. In Ohio, there's a housing organization that's working on managed care contracts with two large managed care organizations that will use housing as a venue for managing people's health, and also may well help with the capital side, because the capital cost of living in a housing program is a lot less than the capital cost of a nursing home or hospital. So there are emerging models that are coming online that we're part of our mission is to help share those among peers nationwide.
So since 1996, Eden has been providing supportive services for seniors by partnering with various community group providers. And while we have a strong network of collaborators, financing these services remains very challenging. Can you talk about any innovative financing models for senior services that you've seen work?
Well, PACE is one. Some of the managed care models are another. The one I mentioned in Vermont is another. What you have to do is you have to get government and people that where the money flows through, like managed care plans, you got to get them working together with you. Unfortunately, because of the fragmentation, we had a former colleague here in Washington whose mother wound up living with her and her husband and her son. 2 days after she died, the county called and said, your mother's up to number 137 on the waiting list for Meals on Wheels. Well, that's just kind of crazy public policy. So a lot of these services are rationed in that way. And then the only alternative sometimes is a nursing home. And oftentimes the good ones have a waiting list and the bad ones are 200 miles away and you're not sure that you want to take your mother there. So that's the huge challenge we all face is the fragmentation. And in partnering is very difficult to do, but it's essential now. Those people that don't partner in the future will find themselves increasingly isolated, and they'll probably, many of them, dry up. But you got to be willing to give a little to get more in a partnering relationship, just like any good partnering relationship.
Agreed. Your Center for Applied Research is helping to lead the way, Larry, in policymaking and the adoption of new practices that improve the lives of older Americans. Can we get a sneak preview of some of the studies currently underway that may help shape living environments for aging populations?
Yes, be glad to. In fact, the number one priority we're working on right now is is research into housing with services models that work. We have a private foundation grant from the MacArthur Foundation that's looking at how do you integrate HUD data with Medicare and Medicaid data to try to determine whether people that live in senior housing options like Eden are using the healthcare delivery system more or less than other people. We think they use it less. So we're also looking at what are the essential elements of a housing with services model that whatever local program you develop, these are the three or four important things that have to be part of it if you want to have a really successful model. We've also been raising money to give out innovation grants to our members who are developing innovative housing with services programs. So last year was the first year of that, and we had $100,000 in grants. It went out to four organizations nationwide, and this year the grant funding that flows through us will be twice that. So we're looking for members who are doing some really interesting things, from medication management at home to establishing housing with services models in a day center. So we're really emphasizing innovation as our number one signature area for all this.
Where have we seen or experienced the legislative impact of the center's findings? And while you're in that arena, how might current studies translate into future policy?
Well, that's the problem right now. The policy is still generally organized around old models and paradigms. The irony is that we're spending more and more in this country on traditional approaches to long-term care. We're getting less and less, and we're going broke doing it. So if we don't step back and look at innovative models, that things like housing with services and dollars following the person models that have shown promise not only in this country but other countries, we won't be able to afford Medicaid as we know it. And you're feeling that pressure out there in California.
Absolutely. Does the President's Health Care Reform Act include any provisions for bringing health and supportive services to affordable senior housing communities?
Yes. One of the reasons we supported the ACA is it provides for innovation. And this is an era for innovation. We believe that you can't throw enough money at the current long-term care financing model, which is predominantly Medicaid. You can't throw enough money at that to make it work. We can't make that much money. At the same time, arbitrary cuts that are represented by sequestration only make health care costs worse, because you take away people's meals on wheels, and if they don't eat, they wind up in the most expensive dining room in the country, and that's the emergency room of the hospital. The ACA provided for innovative opportunities. Now the challenge is going to be over the next few years to take advantage of that and show that different approaches can work.
In February, you and several leading age members, residents, clients, family members, I think, went to Capitol Hill to offer a briefing on care and services for people as they age. As I understand it, your goal was to educate an audience of new legislative staff members about the different options that are available, right? So to explain how good policy facilitates choice, improves quality, saves money, what impressions did you come away with from that experience?
Well, it's interesting because Washington, you are frequently working with congressional staffers. After elections, you have oftentimes many new staffers who are not familiar with our issues. So we're strengthening our ongoing year-round education effort with members of Congress by bringing our members to town to do those kind of things. And we find interest, especially if a member of Congress or his or her staff has had a personal experience with these issues. One of the things that we're going to be strengthening the next few months is to make that a year-round education effort, both here in Washington, but also when members of Congress go home during recesses. We want to make education a year-round activity with these people.
And then maybe keep them in office longer? No, just kidding.
Well, this means that we're going to be asking residents. Residents have an amazing effect at your state legislature when they show up in buses with orange or green T-shirts. I think it's also a fun activity. I always say, you give me an 85-year-old pizzazzy-type resident, a direct care staffer, and a nun, and I can change public policy.
I like that. I see it as a slogan, maybe on a billboard.
So, and there might even be some 85-year-old resident nursing nuns, and that would be the trifecta all in one package.
There you go. So how can nonprofits change the current environment to encourage practices and policies that allow for more aging in place, particularly in affordable housing?
It is advocacy, advocacy, advocacy. Mobilizing the residents of Eden Housing in an organized way to make sure that your state elected officials, as well as your Washington people, must pay attention to the issues involved. It also shows a different side of seniors, where people think, well, these people are, you know, not interested. They're sitting around the fireplace, you know, drooling in their soup. All of a sudden, you find out you got a bunch of people that vote, that are aggressive, that are that advocate, and that gets elected officials' attention. And so, my admonition is get involved. And you're not only advocating for yourselves, you're advocating for future generations. If you believe that it's, you know, you shouldn't be taken from your grandchildren, you're making your grandchildren's future better by strong advocacy.
Absolutely. If you had a policy wish list, Larry, what would be on it?
What would be on it would be a housing with services bill that that supports programs like Eden Housing and building new communities and renovating existing ones. That would integrate various types of health related services. A second one would be a new method to finance long-term care that would have some kind of a broad-based insurance pool where people, if they become disabled at any age, could draw dollars from that pool that would that they could spend as they wish to stay at home. That would be a second one. A third would be in how we regulate the nursing home sector. It's overregulated and underfunded in many places, the regulation is substantially antiquated at this point. So those would be at least three things I would do if I had a magic wand and could make Congress and state legislatures pay attention.
Great. If we want to send our listeners to your website, where can they learn more about Leading Age?
Just leadingage.org. We got a consumer section. We love to hear from you. We have 6,000 members nationwide. About 70% of those or some kind of religious sponsorship or Masonic or fraternal organizations, some labor-sponsored, a lot of local non-sectarian or county or government nonprofits. Our members touch about 4.5 million seniors on an ongoing basis, not counting, we estimate somewhere around 1 million employees and volunteers. So we're not a small force to be reckoned with.
Larry, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today, and thanks so much for your time, not only today, but...
I'm glad to. Hey, listen, if you get old, call me. I want to hear about the experience.
If I get old, I'm going to be saying thank you a lot, right?
All right.
Larry Minnix, President and CEO of Leading Age. To hear prior episodes of the Affordable Housing Podcast, please visit our website, edenhousing.org.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.